Brilliant. I'm ready to rock when you are, baby.
All right. All right. Welcome to Sticky Pickles. Ever found yourself stuck in a pickle, knee-deep in a dilemma? Question is, what do you do now? I'm Maria.
And I'm Carol, and this is Season 8, Episode 5 of Sticky Pickles. Thrown under the... I don't know how I'm going to say that. Thrown under the buzziness.
It's like business, but it's a bus. Thrown under the bus, but it's business.
I know, but how do I say that?
Thrown under the bussiness.
Thrown under the bus that is business and the disease to please.
Disease to please.
Let's get the show on the road because it's late in the day for me.
Yeah.
Maria, tell me, what is your sticky pickle thrown under the business?
Business, yeah, or busyness with the word bus emphasized. Yeah, I don't know. It doesn't work audio-y, but for visual, it does.
But we're allowed because we can do what the fuck we want.
We can do whatever the fuck we want. That's right, exactly. So we have Nico, who is not my uncle, but could be. Hardworking.
Nico.
He's a hardworking guy, works in sales, very detail-oriented. And whenever, you know, there's a client meeting, he's always the one who's got like the whole dossier about the client. He does his homework. He's Mr. Thorough. Just been paired up with Jules. And Jules is very, very charismatic. Like, he has that kind of voice that everyone just wants to listen to. And he's got a smile that lights up the room. But he's also a little bit of an empty suit. Nico sort of suspects that the guy is extremely opportunistic, like will not hesitate to twist the knife at it if it'll benefit him.
Oh, I assumed you meant like smug, but not. You don't mean smug. You mean someone who's actually willing to destroy you to get a few extra bucks.
Right. But with a smile on his face and with some charming words that make it seem like that's not actually what's happening. Because Jules is extremely good at charming the pants off of people, metaphorically and sometimes literally, but like very, very good at impressing people. And honesty, kind of not a big deal. Whereas Nico is a kind of an honest sales guy, which I know is unusual, but there are some. I don't know how long he's destined for this world, but anyway. And basically, Nico and Jules, as I mentioned, they're paired up on closing this massive, massive deal that would actually make or break not just their quarter, but their year.
You can tell that Maria's working hard because this is the second story in a row about sales
about
guys.
Business. I'm trying to keep it, the roles very generic because I know that I know very little about certain businesses, how they work. So I'm like, sales, business. Important money things are happening. Anything more detailed than that, I'm going to lose a lot of people. So we're just going to keep this generic. So they're trying to close this huge deal with this guy named Cassian. And Cassian is like the purchasing guy, the one with the purse strings, right? And the stakes are huge. Nico's got like a really expensive mortgage. And he knows that if he gets this deal, he could pay a lot of it down. Jules has got his eye on some fancy clothes and a really expensive watch. You know, like things that motivate people for whatever reason. And the important thing here is that Jules and Nico they're a team. They have to close this as a team for whatever reason. Like it was originally Nico's account. And then boss man was like, listen, Jules has to be part of this, but you both will get like, it's a split commission situation, but the commission's massive. So it's like,
but Jules is the one with the smile and the twinkly eye and the, I'm going to bury you.
Right. And like, and I will not hesitate to leave you in my dust. Whereas Nico's the one who's like, I'm going to have my prepared notes on what Cassian his pain points and like where I could upsell. He's done his homework. He's like a nerd sales
guy. Nico does all the work. Jules is the closer.
Yeah, and sometimes that setup is a really good one. So, you know, and Nico's feeling kind of hopeful because he's like, yeah, you know, charisma matters in this kind of situation. Like, it does. But there's kind of an issue with Jules's tenuous relationship with the truth. And that becomes obvious when they sit down at dinner with Cassian, you know, the obligatory steak dinner with expensive red wine. And, you know, the waiters and waitresses all wear tuxedos because, you know, this is an indicator of like, we're spending big money on you, Cassian. You're very important to this company, right? Oh, so, business dinner, serious business is happening. And, you know, this reservation at this restaurant was made by Nico. The restaurant is one that Nico knows really well. He's taken a lot of his clients here. And Jules, like, kind of rolled up going, I don't know where we're going to take Cassian. What do you think, Nico? And Nico's like, I know just the place. And so when they walk in and Cassian, you know, greets them later, because Cassian, of course, comes last. It's a power move, right? Don't read into that phrase. And Cassian says, oh, this place is fantastic. Oh, I've heard really good things, but it's been ages since I've been here. Jules is like, ha, 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 ha. You know, it's really funny you say that, because I had to grab Nico here and basically by the collar and drag him to this restaurant. He did not want to come here. He was like, oh, this place is so low class and just terrible. But I knew that this place is actually really upscale and only for the most exclusive folks like yourself, Caspian. And Nico just kind of turns his head like,
WTF?
Hmm.
Yeah. But says nothing. I'm guessing you say nothing. But you notice that. Like, you're like, you notice. If you're Nico, you're like, ouchie, ouch, ouch.
Yeah, because it's like, you can't say anything because you have to be a united front, right? Mm-hmm. But Nico's thinking to himself, like, that was totally unnecessary. Like, why was it not? Like, you can pump up how nice the restaurant is without, like, tossing me under the bus for some reason. Also lying about me. Why? Like, why was any of that necessary? But he just files it under like, oh, maybe Jules is nervous. Like he wants to close the deal. And listen, I want to close the deal. So let's just keep this going. Right. Like, I'm not going to. Why would I say anything? So dinner moves on. They sit down. The wine is flowing. Everybody's feeling good.
I'm there, baby. I'm there. Planning my answer when it comes to the head. OK, go, go, go.
Yeah. OK. And then so later on in the dinner, you know, there was another extraordinary claim made that like Nico just again, it just kind of sends a frisson through his whole body of like, why is this happening? And Jules is like, you know what? This report that we're bringing to you about how we can, I don't know, save you money, give you money, whatever.
Sales guy thing. Yeah.
Sales guy thing. I really had to fight with Nico to get this done before the meeting. And he thought we should actually wait until next week to give this to you. But I figured actually, like, even though this is a dinner, I thought maybe you would want to see this tonight. Because I know that you're that kind of guy, Cassian, that, you know, wants to see this sort of thing and know that we also are prepared. So I took the initiative to have this prepared for you tonight. And big surprise, you know, Nico's the one that did that, not Jules. Like, in fact, Nico is up real late getting that done. And again, Nico's thinking to himself, like, as long as they close the deal. But why does Jules keep doing this to him? Like, why? And, you know, the conversation keeps going. And you can imagine how this is going to go, where basically, like, anything that Cassian mentions, like sports, TV shows, Jules is all about it. And then somehow manages to work in a way that Nico actually is a diehard for the opposite. Like, oh, he doesn't like those guys. I like those guys, but Nico, he doesn't like them at all. But yeah, I'm a big fan of whatever sports team. So Nico's feeling like the volcano of frustration of like, in the big scheme of things, this doesn't actually matter because I'm going to close this deal with Jules and I'm going to get my commission. So like, I don't need to say anything. Mm-hmm. And Cassian is clearly really enjoying this dinner, but I keep getting thrown under the fucking bus. Why? And so at one point in the dinner, towards the end, the bill has come and they're all just sort of sitting there. And clearly it's like, it's time to close this deal. Cassian turns to Jules, who he is clearly now best friends with, and is like, listen, you know, I want to sign this contract with you all, but tell me why. Like, why should I trust you guys with this amount of money? And Jules is the one who's being asked. He goes, you know what? I actually think, since Nico's been really quiet, I think he should take this one. Since a lot of tonight, frankly, I've been sort of covering for him, but I think it's his turn to shine.
I have been in this situation.
Same.
Yeah. So I think it's really fucking annoying. Okay. I have to fight for Nico's corner here at the moment because I'm identifying with Nico's. And I'm thinking, like, this is fine, this whole good cop, bad cop, whatever we want to call it, if both parties are in on it, right? Like, there's an acknowledgement that this is the best way we will both close the deal. It being imposed on you and you effectively being bullied in front of your customer sucks ass.
Yes, it does. Blows. Do you think Jules is aware of this dynamic or?
No.
Yeah. Okay.
I think Jules is just on high octane and feels safe because Nico's there, because Nico's filled all the blind spots.
Yeah.
Where I Nico at this stage, because I'm petty occasionally, is I'd go, no, no, no. You've done all the work. You should explain exactly how the money's going to be used.
Go ahead, Jules. Don't let me steal it. You've been amazing tonight. Just go. Go. Do it. Just do it. And let him flounder, because maybe he can. Maybe Jules can.
Yeah, maybe Jules can. Yeah.
But if Jules is not great, I think I could then save it and go, oh, God, sorry, sorry. I didn't mean to throw you in the bus. That would be an outrageous thing for me to do. Let me just get, I've got it all here. Let me show you exactly. I had no idea that you hadn't covered that bit. So I would just basically kneecap him.
Passive-aggressively kneecap him. Okay. Taking notes.
No, because he's done that to you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Repeatedly. It's not like there was one slip of like, I need to make myself feel good. So
yeah, it kept happening over and over. And this is the thing, like, I often wonder, do people realize that they're doing this? And I like that you're mentioning that it's because they feel safe. That's an interesting idea. Because it's like, if the person doesn't realize that they're throwing their colleague under the bus over and over, then it's almost like, well, if you were to pull them aside at some point and be like, hey, do you know that you keep throwing me under the bus? They're going to be like, what the hell are you talking about?
No, and it's also a micro way of thinking to do that. I mean, I've gotten myself in this situation. I've been in there very often where I'm like so pissed off at the partner that I have to work with.
Yeah.
Because they can't do X or Y.
Yeah.
And I'm represented by their work as well.
Yeah.
But I've learned through therapy that that has to do with my control freakery.
Well, thank you to Curl's therapist because we're still friends. So let's move on to yours. The diseased, please.
Yeah, okay, I've stolen that title. That's from a book that I actually read, but I love the title and it fits the story well because we're talking about Patricia. Okay.
Patricia.
And Patricia and Jilly have been friends forever, like 20 years at least. Right. And basically once a month, Jilly goes over to Patricia's after like dinner to kind of chill out with her, play cards, drink tea. So Jilly's married. She's got a husband, a few kids, right? The whole rest of the family are out for like an evening stroll, except for Patricia. So when Jilly knocks on the door, Patricia shouts going, hey, Jilly, come in, come in. I'm just cleaning up again. Now, it's hard to explain when you know someone's upset, someone you know well, right? Because they have a different tone in their voice. They move a little bit more stiffly. They avoid eye contact. You know what I mean? Like if I were pissy, you'd just feel it, you know, because we've known each other long enough. And Jilly and Patricia are like that, right? So right now we have all three going on. Jilly is watching Patricia shove a plate into the sink of soapy water and suds go flying and she attacks the plate with a scrub brush and then shakes it furiously and then slams it into the drying rack, you know, and repeat. Jilly's thinking, proceed with caution, right? Proceed with caution.
Yep.
She's like, how's it going? She ventures. And Patricia just lets her. She goes, you know what? Not great. I'm so done being everything for everybody all the time. You know, all the time. It's mom. I mean, they're teenagers. Can't they just do stuff for themselves? Do I get a break? No. You. Why would I get a break? It's not like I don't do everything for everybody in this family all the fucking time. You know, and she just can't stop. Like yesterday, our clumsy son fell into the swamp. I mean, literally fell into a stinking swamp. Who does that? But
children do.
He desperately wants to wear his new T-shirt, which he wore in the swamp. So sure, I'll spend 2 hours sorting that out for you. Or our daughter borrowed the car and brought it back with the tank empty, despite promising she wouldn't.
So
of course, teenagers. I had to take it to fill it up.
Yep.
Or my partner in crime. You know, he's typically lying about somewhere in the hammock with a book on the patio, listening to jazz or in the sofa snoozing. I mean, I have three toddlers living here. All this is going on, this big rant from Patricia. Meanwhile, Jilly says, look, let me do the dishes. I've been sitting all day. No, you can't do the dishes. I'm doing the dishes. Sit down and get it all out before they come back.
That's a good friend. My goodness, can I borrow this friend?
Anyway, so finally, Patricia sits down and she starts oversharing. So basically, in short, right, no one in her family, her kids or her husband pulled her weight, right? And they leave her to pick up everything. And she's tired of being everyone's like laundromat. you know, cook, cleaner, chauffeur, personal shopper, assistant. She's like, I don't know what to do. And she moans and she slumps on the table. It's like, she's just done. So if you are Jilly at this point, mm-hmm. what are you thinking? You're sitting there doing the dishes, listening to your buddy.
I mean, I've been in the opposite situation. So I'm like, I mean, it's not good.
Right?
Yeah. I'm like, this is not a great situation, but you know, I'm not sure where to go from there. Like, you know, I kind of want to retreat, but I also want to be a good friend. So I don't know. I don't know what I would do.
Yeah. Cause there's a lot of anger going on.
Yeah. And it's not like something you can do anything about aside from, like, you can always listen and be a good friend, but it's like, it's also like an uncomfortable amount.
Julie's like, I'm going to give you some advice here. And she says, maybe you have the disease to please. Maybe you need to ask yourself, is this my responsibility?
Yep.
And if it's not, don't jump and do it.
That's hard for some people.
You know, because all you do is you go do it and then you're resentful.
Yeah, that's very hard for some people, though. Like, and I'm not excusing it. It's just that some people, it's like they go, but it's not going to be done the way I want it, or I'm going to spend more time fixing it later, which was my problem for ages and ages, being like, I will let them do it, but then I have to fix it later. And then it's like, it's actually takes me less time if I just do it myself, which then just enables, what's it called, weaponized incompetence by all parties, which is exactly what she's dealing with.
Yeah.
So you have to just let go of that expectations can be done exactly the way you want. And even if you think that's not the expectation you have, it is.
That's super interesting, because this is what Jilly says to her, right? She says, remember, every time you do something for someone else, you're robbing them of their fulfillment of doing stuff on their own.
This is true.
Right?
Yep.
They can't feel proud. They can't feel self-reliant. They can't feel competent. They can't feel anything. You're stealing that.
Yeah.
And life is funny, isn't it? Because this could have been said to Patricia 100 times before, but she would never have heard it.
Yeah.
Right? Like, yep. Like really heard it. But this time, somehow it lands.
Sometimes you just, yep.
Yeah. And she's like, oh my God, you're so right. Right. Mm-hmm. I do always jump. And I think I do that because I don't think they're going to do the stuff right. And it's going to take too long and they're going to make a mess.
Yep.
And
which they might.
Yeah.
And you have to
And I'm
going to
watch
it.
Myself. Yes. I'm going to watch myself. I'm going to watch myself. And thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah.
So off Jilly trots. I keep getting the names wrong. Sorry.
I was going to say off she fucks. No, that's
right. Yeah. Off she fucks. she's filled with tea. She goes. And dad and the kids return from their walk, right? And they start, and their son starts complaining. He's like, I'm hungry. Okay, says mom, right? But she doesn't do what she normally does, which is jump up and get him a snack while complaining that he has a bottomless stomach, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, but this confuses her son. She goes, what do you mean, okay? What do you mean, okay, he says. And she goes, I mean, okay, I hear you. You're hungry. Well, kid says, I want to eat something. She goes, okay, there's fruit right there in the bowl. And his kid's like, mom, an apple? Jeez, you're so impossible. It storms off.
Yes, an apple. You're going to eat it. Or eat nothing and like it. Yeah. So this is what my house sounds like when I'm really mad. So this is what my neighbors hear sometimes.
Okay, so then the husband's like, what the fuck is going on, right? So he's like, why didn't you make him something, right?
Because I'm not a fucking servant. That's why. Go fuck yourself. Also, you can do that, but fuck yourself. Oh,
it's interesting you say that. She says, he didn't ask me to.
Mm.
And he's like, okay, but obviously he wanted to eat something other than an apple.
But too fucking bad. No. Too fucking bad. No. Oh my God. The whole family is just waiting on her to be like the hop to servant. Like, come the fuck on.
He can't believe it. He's like, are you serious? And she's like, deadly.
Divorce serious.
So he rolls his eyes, puts up his hands, you know, in front of her, like, I'm under attack, and backs out of the room. And for the trifecta, we have the daughter who's been like on her phone messaging, and she's like, the mood here is too chilly. I'm going to take the car and go out for a drive.
The vibes are off.
The vibes are off. mom's like, no, you can't. She's like, why? You don't need it. She goes, because you didn't fill the tank yesterday, as you promised. She's like, but I meant to. She goes, but you didn't, so no car tonight. Mm-hmm. You're so mean. No wonder you have no friends, mom. Okay, so...
I'm a bitch. I'm a big fat bitch. I'm the biggest bitch in the whole wide world. I have to sing that song.
Her entire family within 10 minutes now hates her.
Yay!
Right? So the next day, Mom. Jilly calls and goes, hey, Patricia, how's it going?
You're doing something right, honey. Keep going.
But that's hard.
Yeah.
Because everyone that she loves best right now thinks she's an asshole.
They'll get over it.
You know what? They will.
They will.
They will. Because it's painful to change any pattern. If you've been sitting there catering to everybody, they're going to, of course, go through a pain period where they have to learn how to take the sheets off their own bed.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, wash the dishes or put butter on their toast.
Put their dirty socks in the hamper. Yeah, imagine.
Or do the laundry. I mean, oh my God, it's just pushing a few fucking buttons.
Right.
You know?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
I mean, teens could do that. And they should know how to do it because they have to go off to school or live in their apartments and do stuff and actually have to know how to do all these things.
We are not on video, but if you could see me nodding my head vigorously, you would know that it would almost fall off right now. Like, yes, 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 yes.
So my big ultimate question here is,
yes,
Patricia is trying to just run a family as best as she can, right? Keep everything clean, keep everything tidy, have food in the fridge, all this stuff. And
yes,
the other people in her family, according to her, are not pulling their weight.
Yes.
So what does she do? Like, what she has been doing is not working. Mm-hmm. She's been filling all the gaps, but running herself ragged to keep up with the Joneses or whatever.
Genuinely, Patricia has the two paths ahead of her. If she wants everything tip-top shape to her exacting standards, like, she knows the only solution is that she does it all herself. And many people make that choice. And then it sort of becomes, if that is a choice you're making, you can complain, but... It's pointless. Like, really, like, you expecting everyone else to live up to your standards is guaranteed heartbreak. It's just never going to work out that way.
Exactly.
Either that or you're going to be abusive. So, like, just, you know. So if that is genuinely what you want, then you have to, like, make your peace with that and be like, I'm going to be in charge of all of this stuff and I'm going to live with the consequences of that. Or if you are willing to relinquish some control for a bit of your time and sanity back, but recognize that things will not be up to your standard, that is the other path. But, like, you have to be willing to live with some things that you really maybe don't want to. Like, there's no middle path as far as I know. Like, maybe hiring external help is one that I have, you know, like, hire a housekeeper.
It doesn't make someone a bad person or a good person if their clothes live on the floor.
Right.
Right.
But again, if it bothers you so much that you want to do it, then you have to be willing to live with the consequences of that as well, which is you become your family's live-in servant.
Yep. Ain't fun.
Yeah. It ain't fun. But some people make that. They're like, you know what? I'm happy to do it because I can't stand seeing a dirty sock on the floor. You know what? Whatever. Not my choice. But some people choose that. Just know that you are actually making a choice. That is not like... You know, the expectation of everyone living up to my exacting standards is like, that's impossible. Like, nobody can do that.
I think the thing here is, like, teach people how to do that. They may choose to do it or not. Just saying, this is how we fold socks in this house.
Yep.
Okay. That's like that. If that's important.
Girl,
I've
never folded a fucking sock in my goddamn fucking life. I'm just telling you. I'm happy if it makes it in the drawer. And from that point on, go with God. Like, you know,
go
it's fine.
With God.
And now I was taught by my mother and my father. It's not on them. I just made the choice to not do it.
You see, it's very funny because I now fold, like, I would say, like a queen. Although the person that showed me how to fold when I was 35 thinks I fold like shit.
I fold like shit also because I almost never fold.
But I get a lot of joy out of trying to fold. And people come over and go, wow, you're folding so beautifully. I say, thank you very much.
Okay, Marie Kondo. That sounds great. I'm glad. A lot of people do.
I don't want to fucking haul a vacuum across the room, though.
And meanwhile, I actually really love vacuuming. So, like, it's that kind of a thing.
Oh, we should be married.
I know.
We should
just. That's the solution.
Oh, my God. That's it for this episode of Sticky Pickles. If we made you smile, you know what to do. Leave us a review, or better yet, donate $1 or $3.
Yes, because we have a Patreon. $3 gets you all our love and helps us pay our fees. Find us at patreon.com/stickypickles. Plus, you can find us on Instagram @stickypicklespod and also on Blue Sky.
Just look up for Sticky Pickles. You'll find us. And as always, thank you for listening.
Yes, we'll be back soon. Ciao.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Girl, I'm getting pinged at work. I have to run. I'm so sorry.
No, no, go, go, go. It's fine.
But I think it was a good episode. I think it was great.
Yay. I like you.
Yay. Love you, girl.
Love you too. Bye.
Bye. Bye. Bye.